if the Minnesota Wild are ever going to get out of the first round of the playoffs, they have to show that a repeat of what happened in last year's postseason is unacceptable. We talk about what has to change on today's episode of Locked On Wild.
You're Locked On Wild, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Wild, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's happening, everybody? Welcome to a bonus episode of Locked On Wild, your daily Minnesota Wild podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thanks for making Locked On Wild your first listen each and every day. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube and your favorite podcast platforms so you don't miss out on any of our new episodes throughout the week. On today's episode of Locked On Wild, we talk about why a repeat of what let the Wild down in last year's postseason means that they need to up the standard and make changes to the team and the coaching staff that reflect a need to up the expectations for this team each and every season. My name is Seth Topol, your daily Minnesota Wild insider, and gave it a day. Gave it all day yesterday just to kind of think about it, let things process, see how you go, because you don't want to be quick trigger reaction after, especially after what happened on Friday. I'm more mad than I was on Friday today. So I think we have given enough time, let the dust settle enough to where I can just storm right out of the gates. I am going to agree with the episode that Jesse Pierce and Kristen Kroll did for Bar Down Beauties yesterday. I think Dean's got to go because this has now become a pattern. Not only a pattern, this has become an acceptable outcome for this team. And before we super dive into it, you're missing Joel Eriksson Ek. I get that. Missing Mason Shaw. I get that. You are dealing with the Zach Parise and Ryan Suter contracts. I get that. And so the fact that the Minnesota Wild lost to the Dallas Stars in this opening round series, the fact that they lost is not the problem. The fact that the Wild lost is not the problem. Jake Ottinger played extremely well the final couple of games of that series. Dallas has a ton of talent on that roster. And so the fact that the Wilds lost is not the problem. It's how it happened. We had, for the second consecutive postseason, absolute no-shows in the final few games of the season. And this year, I went back and looked at how last year's series ended up, and the Wild were outscored 15-5 in the final three games of the series. It was 5-1, 5-2, and 5-2 in some particular order. 15-5 in the final three games of the series. With your back against the wall, not only with your back against the wall, with a 2-1 lead in the series. Unacceptable. And then this year, 2-1 lead in the series. Game four, a couple of plays here or there could have gone the other way. It didn't. So that one is not as irksome to me as what happened in games five and game six, where in game five, you lose Marcus Foligno immediately. I don't know that the outcome changes if he's in the game, because Dallas scoring on that power play, it took the life out of the Wild completely. And then you have game six. The crowd was ready. The crowd was electric and ready to go off for that game. You have a good first 4 or 5 minutes of that first period where you are really attacking. You hold the zone almost the entire time, just flying around, and that firing out of the gate energy is there. You miss an opportunity to score when the scrum in front of the net happens. Ryan Hartman misses on an opportunity. Dallas goes right down to the other end. They score, and there is no attack. There's no response until like 3 minutes left in the game. You get outshot 16-3 in the second period of a game in which you have to win or your season is done. And so, again, I say, the fact that the Wild lost to the Dallas Stars is not the problem. It is how it happened. You now have two straight postseasons in which you have just largely not shown up for critical games. And some of the comments after this postseason as well, saying, well, we battled all year, liked the battle level of this team throughout the course of this series. It just didn't go our way. That does not pass the smell test for me. That smells of a complacency. That smells of being okay with this happening over and over and over again. It's now seven consecutive postseason appearances in which the Wilds have not advanced out of the first round. And guess what? You can't hide behind the Toronto Maple Leafs anymore. Toronto won their first-round series this year, and so the Minnesota Wild are the team, land of 10,000 lakes, land of 10,000 first-round exits in the postseason. And so that, in and of itself, cannot be acceptable for this team. And so that is where, whether deserved or not, you have to make changes that reflect the we are not going to accept this type of outcome. You have to make changes that reflect that. And there are a ton of reasons as to why this needs to happen. And I think the biggest, as we laid out, is just the no-show. And just, as we'll talk about later in the show today, just the lack of, like, somebody showing some fire and saying, hey, we can't be okay with this. We said it on the show before game six. Everydayers that tune in every single day to this show know that one of the keys was there is a possibility that the season ends tonight. And so if that is indeed the case, you better go out swinging. You better lay everything you have out on the line so that it's a situation where, okay, let's say the Wild lose 4-3 and they are just controlling the pace. Some of the same things that have happened throughout the series end up happening again. Just Jake Ottinger just stands on his head or lose 2-1 or something like that. You lose 2-1 and you're battling the whole game. And you come up an opportunity or two short. That's one thing. But a 4-1 loss in which you're trailing 3-0 after two periods and you're just throwing the same things out there and not making any changes, that's what's unacceptable. And so that's why we are at the point, I think, and I stand behind, that it's time for a change. And so we'll talk more about the need to bring a new voice in as we continue today's episode of Locked On Wild after this. Today's episode is brought to you by AG1 by Athletic Greens. Keeping up with proper nutrition is really hard. You're busy, you're stuck at your desk, you're eating whatever you can just to get through the day. But what if you could start your day with the ultimate daily nutritional insurance? With a single scoop of AG1 in a glass of water, you can do just that and absorb 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food-sourced superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. Athletic Greens was created when the founder experienced a ton of gut health issues and ended up on a complicated supplement routine to recover. It cost him over $100 a day, which just isn't sustainable. He created Athletic Greens after experiencing how difficult it was to create an optimal nutrition routine on your own, all for around just $3 a day. Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/NHL Network. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/NHL Network to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Continuing today's episode of Locked On Wild, once again, thanks for making Locked On Wild your first listen each and every day. For the everydayers, make sure you tune in for Micheletti Monday tomorrow. We'll talk with Alex Micheletti recapping the first round loss for the Wild and some of the big questions coming up here in the offseason as well. So let's start with the, I think, biggest area of concern and anger as to Dean Evason's style of coaching, which is to say, here's what it is, that's what you get. You don't really get a lot of changes throughout the course of the season. And we've talked about this on the show previously. When you're winning in the regular season, yeah, there really isn't a lot of need to tweak. You've got good line combos that are working. This is what happened last year, is you basically had your four lines set the second half of the season, and you don't really have to do much to tweak them. And so it's that style is consistent win or loss with Dean. If things are going well, you don't get a lot of lineup tweaks. You give the players the opportunity, if they maybe have an off game, to fight through it and get back on track. We saw this year the opposite end of that. When things aren't going well, the beginning of the season in which teams started 0-3 and just looked horrendous in those first three games. 20 goals allowed in the first three games. Without that offensive security blanket of Kevin Fiala, we saw what happens when Dean is coach, when things aren't going well. There is a lot of trying to go back to the secure safety blankets of what we saw last year. We saw that in game six of this postseason, a do-or-die game where you lose and you're done. And there was talk before the game, yeah, we might throw the lines in a blender. We might make a couple of tweaks. What did we get? You got Marcus Johansson on the top line and Matt Zuccarello on the second line, flipped. That was it. And those line combinations stayed the same until the third period, in which the Wild were already down 3-0. Then Dean went back to Kaprizov, Hartman, Zuccarello, went back to the game one lineup. I cannot, and I've been a Dean guy in the past. I have. We've defended him many times on this show. I can't defend that. I can't defend not trying everything, trying to get something going. I can't defend it. In an elimination game, you flip two players. And this, again, goes back to when things aren't going well, there's a lot of a desire to go back to what previously worked that may not work again this time. And not only that, but let's talk about the special teams as well. The special teams, we are seeing very clearly, have been elevated over the last few years by playing some pretty atrocious power plays during the regular season. This power play has been exposed over the last few postseasons to the point that I even went through and just to try to help prove a point, I went through and ran the numbers. So let's go back to 2019-2020. This was the first Dean Evason postseason, and that was against Vancouver. Wild had a 13.6% power play, 78.9% on the kill. 3 years ago, 2020-2021, against the Vegas Golden Knights, and that series went seven. Wild could have probably won that series if not for Jonas Brodin getting hurt, and yet they didn't. 18.2% on the power play, 86.7% on the penalty kill. And if you'll recall, in that series against the Vegas Golden Knights, Vegas was having a historically bad power play in that series. They had absolutely zero ability early on in that series to score on the power play. And so the last 2 years, I think, are the most telling. 2021, 2022, 16.7% on the power play, 69.2% on the penalty kill. And this year, 18.2% on the power play, 62.5% on the penalty kill. Your power play can be hit or miss. You don't have to be Florida bad from last year where they were 0 for 31. But you can get by in the postseason with a power play that scores here and there. If you can't have a successful penalty kill, you have no chance. And this brings me back to another thing that I think irks me near the top of the list, is what did we hear after the season last year when the penalty kill was just a disaster against the Blues? Dean said, well, I'm not so sure that it's the scheme. I think it's more the players not executing the scheme. How about this? How about if you feel like the players are not able to execute the scheme, how about you tweak the scheme? And again, we saw this penalty kill put up a better percentage, but we have to be abundantly clear that you're facing a lot of bad power plays during the season. When you get to the postseason, a lot of times you're not facing anybody that's lower than probably top 15. You're not facing any teams that are just abysmally bad in the power play. And a lot of times you're facing top 10 or better, top 5 even. And so the fact that, by and large, the penalty kill between that last year to this year, more aggressive. That was the change. Well, how'd that work out? I know, Joel Eriksson-Ek was not, he's an integral part of both special teams units and was not in this postseason. But he was in last year's. You had the full complement of the Grief line playing their best hockey together, and the Wild still were at a 69% kill. Coaches have to take instances in which players are out of the lineup. You have to find ways to offset that. That's your job. That's your job as a coach, is to coach the players that you have and to put the team in positions to win. Because what else have we seen over the last couple of years? Bill Guerin brought in reinforcements to help this team. Last year, the amazing offensive season, you could look at the result there and say, okay, yeah, this team maybe wasn't fully cut out to win in the postseason. You didn't have enough physicality. You didn't have this or that. But this year's team, plenty of physicality, and you still end up losing in round one. So the lack of adjustments, and the two games in which the adjustments were made in this series, game three, when Joel Eriksson-Ek left after 19 seconds, so the Wild were shorthanded while not intending to be shorthanded. So you have to adjust during the game there. And game five, you kind of saw it too, but that was also because Marcus Foligno got ejected from the game like 5 minutes in. So the only two instances in which you really saw legitimate adjustments made were because it was not part of the plan. That's a problem too. And so, again, like, look at what has happened the last three postseasons in particular. Pete DeBoer twice and Craig Berube once. And those two guys, three times, coached better in this series. Berube last year was down 2-1, and he lit his playbook on fire and started from scratch. Dean just kept ramming his head into the wall, hoping that one time things would turn out better. And that, again, furthers my point that this is a situation where this team needs to make a move that signals that this type of result is unacceptable. The fans deserve better than what they have seen over the last seven trips to the postseason. Game three, the most electric crowd I think I have ever encountered in person. The fans will turn out for this team, no matter what. But you can't take a first-round exit and say, better luck next year. It has to be unacceptable. You have to make a move or two that signify that this result is not acceptable. And we'll talk about another instance in which there may need to be a change made as we continue today's episode of Locked On Wild after this. Final segment of today's episode of Locked On Wild. Once again, thank you for making Locked On Wild your first listen each and every day. Again, for the everydayers, make sure you tune in tomorrow as we've got a Micheletti Monday for you. We'll recap the first round loss for the Minnesota Wild, and we'll take a look ahead at some of the big decisions throughout the upcoming offseason. We got a couple of guests that are lined up tentatively for the week as well, and so should be a full week here on Locked On Wild as we start to go through the why. Why did this happen? Why did we get here? We'll run through all of that here throughout the week. So, coaching change. And again, this is all up to Bill Guerin. There are two ways that this can go. You can have the clean out the staff, the assistants. And I think that's the bare minimum. If Bill Guerin does that and Dean stays, not my first choice, but if there is a change of that caliber made, that's a step in the right direction. And that signifies then that if this happens again, then it'll be a full coaching change. So that, I think, is bare minimum. But again, I cannot get over just the way that the final two games of the season looked. And not only is that on the coaching staff, but it's on the leadership on the team too. It's not a particular style of Jared Spurgeon's, I don't think, to be more of the loud, assertive type. And I can't speak to what happened behind closed doors, because that is an area that we will never know. Those closed-door meetings that happened throughout the season during the intermission breaks. But you would think that somebody on the team would raise a level of anger in that this cannot be accepted. This type of result cannot be accepted, and we can't just kind of throw your hands up at any sign of adversity and just say, well, you know, they're really bringing it to us today, and I don't know what we're going to be able to do about that. You have to just show some level of frustration with what's going on. And I think this is a fantastic instance to look at how things were handled by the Winnipeg Jets, because there's been a lot of reaction to what Rick Bonus did after his team was eliminated in five games at the hands of the Vegas Golden Knights. And it led to a ton of reaction throughout social media and otherwise that maybe shouldn't have been public, but you can't deny being frustrated. Bonus said that he was disgusted, he was disappointed at the lack of pushback by his team against the Vegas Golden Knights is anytime Vegas did something, there was no pushback. And he also said that the difference in top players between Vegas and Winnipeg was just so obvious. The Vegas top players played way better than the Jets top players did. And, you know, there have been some discussions after the fact. Bonus himself has admitted that, you know, he maybe got a little too emotional, something that maybe should have been said behind closed doors. But showing some fire and some lack of just accepting what happened. And Rick Bonus has been critical of that team's performance throughout the second half of the season quite a bit. And the pushback from the players and saying, I don't think you should have done that way. That is something that maybe should have been handled behind closed doors. It sounds a little bit like how players that are okay with what happens react. And I don't know if that is Dean Evason's style as a player coach to react in that fashion. He certainly did during the season in saying that the team has to be better. But again, it's we have to be better. But I just can't get over, at the end of the season, the comments along the lines of, we battled hard, liked the battle effort. It's not acceptable. And I don't know to what length the Wild would go in terms of new voices to where maybe you look for somebody that is a little more assertive, is going to ask more of the team in terms of both a coach and a captain. You have to put it on the table. After the way that this season ended, I don't think there's any looking at leadership. I don't think there is any stone that can be left unturned as to how to improve so that this doesn't happen again. I know it was a soundbite a couple of years ago, but it is interesting to look at it now as opposed to back then when Bill Guerin took over and before training camp was asking the team, what's it all about? And he asked Spurgeon to respond. And Spurgeon said, working hard and having fun. And Guerin paused for a second and he said, no, F that. He said, it's about winning. And that's the disconnect that you have to move past. You have to move past, which is why these types of moves happen. Because look at Dean Evason's record in the regular season. It's really good in the regular season. His postseason record is very bad. And if this franchise wants to get to that ultimate level of winning a Stanley Cup, bringing a Stanley Cup home to the state of hockey, you have to move past, hey, we had a great regular season. We had fun watching this team throughout the course of the year. And it was fun to be part of the conversation in the postseason, but you know that's how it goes. And I'm not trying to gatekeep here, because I know a lot of people enjoy tuning in to watch this team throughout the year. And so my entire argument for this show is just that the team has to raise the bar as to what's acceptable, because we're now on 7 consecutive first-round exits for a fan base that deserves more than that. This fan base deserves the opportunity to watch this team beyond round one, beyond a home game or two or three in the first round of the playoffs. This fan base deserves the opportunity to see this team at the highest level in the Stanley Cup final, in the conference finals, Haven't done that since 2013 or since 2002, 2003. Got to the second round in 2013, 2014. This fan base deserves the opportunity to cheer this team on to the end of the line. And in order to do that, you have to take instances like this and just say, this is not acceptable. And so whatever happens, we will have reaction to it. I have laid out the case, I think, as to why it makes sense for a new coach. Bar Down Beauties obviously discussed it yesterday. I am sure Judd's Hockey Show on Score North, I'm sure there is a similar feeling there. There's going to be a lot of these types of shows throughout the week reacting in a similar fashion, which should tell you that it's probably the right way to go. So we'll see how it plays out this week. We will have plenty of reaction to it. I'm going to be really shocked if nothing happens. I'm going to react the rest of the way, depending on how things play out as well. So make sure that you stay tuned and keep with us here throughout the off season. We have a ton to go over from this series as well as the season as well as we move throughout the rest of these Stanley Cup playoffs. And then into the off season, we're not going anywhere. We've still got daily episodes for you throughout the rest of the season into the off season as well. So for the everydayers, we'll see you tomorrow. For those that are tuning in for the first time, we invite you to make this a regular part of your listening schedule here with Locked On Wild. So make sure to take the opportunity to subscribe on YouTube, to follow on your favorite podcast platforms, and then turn notifications on so you don't miss out on any new episodes throughout the week. We have new episodes for you every Monday through Friday as part of the Locked On Podcast Network.